Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Do children have an innate sense of humor, or is it something that we need to nurture as parents? Listen and learn firsthand from the dynamic and ebullient Rebecca Rajkumar from Chennai in India, as she partners me in a conversation about building a sense of humor in our children. I'd like to add here that the joy of working early and in auditory verbal therapy with children who are deaf or hard of hearing is that once they graduate from the service, they no longer need our support. So let's jump right in.
How are you?
I am well, ma'am. How are you?
Very well. It's been such a long time. It is such a pleasure for me. I love it when I don't hear from my families.
I am so, so, so glad. Good to see you, ma'am. In fact, I was thinking, you know, we are preparing for the school annual day program where he's part of the play. And this is play that involves children across grades. They're not telling us because they want to surprise us parents. But I know he has lines as part of the play. I know he's part of the narration team. I know. And the funny thing is, they don't look at him any different.
Oh, fantastic.
They don't look at him any different. In fact, last year, they were preparing him intensely for Imagine Sound of Music and Captain One Trap. That was the role they wanted to give him.
Oh my God.
I know.
Fantastic.
I got stressed out when I read the lines. I was like, oh, he's always a part of all the big programs, all the videos, all of that. So school is great. I think he's doing really, really well at math. He takes pride in being ahead of the class. His teacher begs him not to do that. I think simply because she's tired of asking him to hold on and wait for the rest of the class.
Oh, how fantastic.
I think he's got Pravish's half of the genes.
And your hard work for years and years and years. Let's not forget that. And socially, how is that going?
So he's another level of social. He interacts with people so easily. He is not shy. He is not afraid in a group. He is not even in the tennis court when I see him in social settings. And there are plenty of situations where we cannot be hovering and watching over what he's saying. He is just fine. He's never shy. People ask him about his cochlear. He answers them. He tells them what it is. We're raising a very, very confident young man.
Yeah, you must be so proud. You must be so relieved.
Yeah, we are. And he just celebrated his 13th birthday. For me, it was a whole flood of emotions because it was underwhelming.
Going back to and then seeing where he is now. Wow. And you're back to full-time work?
No, ma'am, not full time. I have all the flexibility I need. I get to work from home with the satisfaction of contributing towards the business. So I work from home. In fact, so much of the way you taught us to handle the behavioral aspect of things, that is That is just gold, ma'am.
Those are, Pravish and I always talked about it, you know, that the knowledge that you had accumulated over the years and the time and that moment into which you spoke those words of advice have just stuck with us.
Mm. Neham has a tremendous sense of humor.
Very. And with sarcasm thrown in there, it is, it's coming to bite me.
Why, what happened?
Give me an example of what happened.
Let me tell you what happened yesterday. Because as you know, as we were talking about so much of the humor component, we're also coming to a situation where there's so much of a clash of personalities. And really speaking, we are flexing every possible muscle, see it. And, you know, it's always about, So anyway, so yesterday we had lots of homework and assignments to be submitted. And I was at the very, very last where just the one bit had to be completed. So he had the whole of Sunday and he finished only a part of it. The deal was when he finishes it, I'll order him a Rubik's Cube. And he finished around 12 noon, but only part of it. And of course, there was a meltdown. There was, you promised, I'm not going to ever listen to you, all of that. Then I stormed off as well because there was no point
in
doing it. So when I came back, I sat down in front of him, eye to eye contact. And I said, I work on multiple projects, you know, and I take care of the house day to day. I can remember what I said like a couple of hours ago. And I'm very clear. Let's make voice notes if you are not clear or you want clarity in what you're doing. He paused, he smiled, he looked at me and he said, I'm a scammer. I burst out laughing. It broke my heart a little bit, but then he admitted to what he was trying to do, which was basically manipulate me.
Yeah.
I said, okay, he's funny like that. And then, so when I do calm down, you know you're bugging me. Like, yeah, I know I'm doing it. You know that's annoying, right? And it's like, yeah. But you annoy me too kind of responses is there. So
sometimes
it works, sometimes it doesn't.
So one of the questions, in fact, do you remember that time when I think you told me that that a friend of yours had come over and she'd not seen or met Neham for a long time? I think he was 10 at that time. And she asked him, you know, she's trying to be polite and making conversation, you know, how are you? And so how old are you? And he said he was 12. And you gave his correct age, okay, whatever it was, 8 or 10 or whatever. And he then looks at this lady friend of yours and says, I'm actually 12. She just doesn't know.
Yeah, I thought that was so hilarious. And I just thought it was so typical.
It's like that.
But when I told someone that, it was in a class I was teaching, the response of this participant, and I still don't have the answer, which is why I was wondering if we should discuss it, is that, you know, that's such a fantastic example of what we can do with children with, you know, despite the late intervention.
Despite it all.
You know, that was a big thing, right? He was not, he was diagnosed early, but in terms of his management, he was not early.
Right.
So the question she asked me is, how did you get him there? And I said, I think I'm going to have to ask his mother.
A lot of it comes with, of course, both Pravish and I play tag team in this. A lot. I think if we look back on it, the very early years of sentence building and vocabulary building came through cooking, because you remember you that was the easiest thing for us to do. He loved food and he loved to eat. So still does.
Forgotten.
Still does. So we would just constantly be working, making cookies, roti, idli, anything. Anything. But that was so much of a conversation builder for us.
because there was always food. We're a family that enjoys cooking and sharing and conversation. So that's one. We have.
So where did the humor come in, though? How did you build the humor in?
I'm trying to think. I think both Pravish and I, when we deal with each other, are largely sarcastic because we want all the underlying currents. We're not openly fighting in front of Neham, but there's always the jabs. And he seems to have understood that and picked up on that.
Yeah.
So I think that's one, because he's surrounded by us.
He's surrounded by humor and love.
And yes, surrounded by humor. Pravish is very, very, very funny all the time. Yeah. Conversations with friends.
But what about the time when, because that's what's always the hardest part, right? What about the time when, say, you started being humorous with him, right? Because you weren't that way when we first met.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it.
So there was a point where you said, don't dumb it down for him.
Mm.
You said there was... if your language is good, use the good English. Don't simplify just because you think he can't understand. So if you use, like, if I had to use a better a word for it, I would go ahead and use it.
It's okay now because, you know, you've more than turned the corner and he's well on his way and he's flying. How did we get there? Because, you know, children don't really start understanding humor to, technically speaking, they're 7 or 8. So how did you get him to enjoy humor?
Truth be told, ma'am, a lot of what he sees in the house, we are a very communicative couple, Pravish and I. We enjoy intelligent conversation. And we definitely enjoy humor. So we love watching movies with great writing, great dialogue. We like watching the news with stand-up comedy infused in it. It could be in the native language or it could be in English. We watch all of the American politics is all conveyed through stand-up comedians. And that is Pravish's news source, opinion source, everything. But taking it back a few years, So we realized Neham was always visually cued in to any form of communication. When we wanted,
and that might have been that might have been because of his late intervention.
Yeah, because of the late intervention. So it aided him. It made things easy for us to teach, to communicate, and clarify for him if we supported everything with a video, whether it was a concept, or even just for him to relax and entertain himself. He loved watching movies. So at that point, it was Madagascar. It was all the Penguin movie series. So much of it was slapstick. And he loved it. And we loved watching him just enjoy himself and laugh. We realized eventually he noticed that I was laughing at different parts. And I was laughing at something that was said. So that's where he started to ask questions and say, why are you laughing? What did they say? He didn't have the strength to read the subtitles then, the verbal and the language strength.
The reading of
read subtitles. The reading ability. But he did know that subtitles were available to him. So with the cue-in of subtitles, and I always to this day watch television with him with subtitles. So we would break down the jokes for him. He started understanding that the timing of the delivery of the joke was everything. We would practice it, mirror it. And then he started absorbing, watching us talk to each other. We would use those phrases in our daily parlance. We would, at the dinner table, enact those things that we found funny. Even to this day, he watches series after series of videos on YouTube, which talk about, try not to laugh. That's his favorite piling of funny videos. There's another very, since TikTok and Instagram and YouTube is like such an explosion across age groups, there is a comedian pair called Jord Indian. One of the boys is Malayali, settled from the UAE, and one of the boys, one of them is Tamilian. But they do these, so they do it with a little bit of local language, a little bit of English, a little bit of Hindi mixed in.
And he loves watching. It's a typical teenage boy's, situational comedy. And they do YouTube videos where they are dressing up. And Nahum's cousin and him love talking about it. They enact it. They repeat the jokes. So I see it's building from here.
Oh, sweet. That's very encouraging. But you know, there's a lot of subtlety in humor as well. And from what you're saying, he's also getting that.
Yes.
Yes.
So slapstick is one.
Slapstick,
is like just the first levels. But
yes. First level, but he definitely understands the language, the twist in the language. He likes he'll experiment. Typical boy, they'll discuss in school some sad joke and they'll try and see its effect on us at home. You want to laugh, but then so sometimes you laugh, sometimes you don't want to encourage them. But you know, like a play on words on something like that. But like the other day I told him, we used to be Baby Llama. So Baby Llama, Mama ain't buying this drama is what I told him. And he was just, so it ties in what I used to listen to as a child, but it gets him.
That's a really good line. That's a really good line to start with. But tell me, with friends and stuff like that, has in the early years, was the lack of, say, being able to appreciate jokes, did that dishearten him?
Not to my knowledge. I think what he enjoyed was just being allowed to be part of the group. We had lots of people come over. We had lots of gatherings. It was a lot of family, friends, mixed age groups. And we never, he was never sent away to his room. He was allowed to be there. He was allowed to participate. We would have games. We would have chats around the table, post-dinner, where everyone was sitting and talking. So I think when a child sees that there is some of these conversations are not they're not off limits for him, and they're cognizant of a child being present. But I think that sort of encouraged him to pay attention to what was being said.
That's a really good point.
Because he had to be a part of it.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point, that he wanted to participate, and he knew in order to participate, he had to keep paying attention. But yeah, I get that.
On so many occasions, he would ask me, what is this word? What are you saying? He would look at me, and that pause I know meant he didn't understand. So he would rephrase it, work around it. Even with Pravish, the kind of conversations they have, they pick up world history. We've talked about the history of America, about slavery, about communism. These are hard things to water down to a child.
Yeah.
Our own Indian history. It is so hard for children to understand why the British came. What did they do? How many years of oppression led to poverty for which we had to overcome? These are very, very difficult concepts to explain to a child. Because today we're going on holiday to London, but what is the background behind that? Or what, you know, London's the oldest city, what kind of history did they have? Those are things we encourage him to learn about, a little bit at least.
And
he needs to be able, in a nugget.
To be able to, you know, holiday in London without prejudice.
Without prejudice,
You know, that things are part of history, but you don't have to carry it as part of baggage.
As part of baggage for him, we had projects that we had to do through school about Rosa Parks. So for him, the idea that, you know, the Americans have that part, that slavery is a huge part of their history, he couldn't accept it. Because for him, everything about America is glittery and good and
grand,
exactly. So for him to see this side was a revelation. In fact, even recently I spoke to him about, a lot of things that happen. He watches the news. So he watches the news via YouTube in order to keep updated. We encourage him to do it so that, you know, and then we figure out what he's watching, what he's discussed. We like to discuss with him so that we can at least see what he has understood or what we can filter out in order for him.
Filter out. I think that with this young generation is a pipe dream. They have so much access. And we think we're filtering it out, and they're like,
I know.
And it's like they like to, you know, tell, dream on kind of thing, so long as you think you're filtering it out, but I'm getting what I want.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
You know, but were there points when you got disheartened, or, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is just too much effort?
Many, many times. And it happens to this day, ma'am. It happens to this day. Because for me, the disheartening happens only, I think, when when we were working with you, you always told me if he didn't understand, like if Neham did not understand what you're saying the first time, it's not his fault. Try and change the way you've presented that to him. So yeah. I realized there's no use droning on and on about the same thing. In fact, the reverse is happening now. He says some things to me and I don't understand them the first time. So I'm giving him the same nugget of wisdom. I said, please, can you change the way you're saying this to me so that I can understand
it out for me?
Sometimes even if he's angry and, you know, he says something in frustration, my first go-to is I try to, you know, respond to him saying, I know you're upset, but can we try and say that differently?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way we can say that differently such that, you know? So I think what that does is diffuses the situation, also gives him a chance to reword it.
And he's able to pull himself back from that point and then reword it? That's pretty mature.
Yeah.
That's pretty mature.
Yeah, yes. This morning he said something and I think my mind was all over the place when I sent him off to school. I simply didn't understand what he was saying. It was a simple thing. He was asking about a snack that I had ordered.
Mm.
And when he came home this evening, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I know this is what you were asking about. Look, I have it here. And he said, no, I know you were stressed out in the morning.
Mm.
He was cool. He was cool about
it. Yeah.
So sometimes there is that emotional regulation. Sometimes I think we just need to understand.
But that's part of just living with an older child.
Yes.
You know, another emerging adult, as I like to call
it. Emerging adult, yes.
I think that's fantastic. So
it's fun. It's fun. He's very good at putting someone else at ease. He knows he has to be respectful, but he's also very friendly.
Yeah, but that sensitivity is also something a child absorbs, right? From their environment, especially from their parents. It's what they hear around them and it just becomes part of their personality. And I think both you and Pravesh have done such a lovely job on that front, you know, that just that always, that ability to stay positive and very, a lot of warmth.
Mm. Yeah. No. He has brought so much joy to us, ma'am. We have a friend who was telling us how she's younger, but her daughter, who has been interacting with Neham for so many years, got a remark from the school saying that she's particularly sensitive to children because she can see that they are different and they need help. And she's willing to stand up against the other classmates to continue to befriend this child.
Wow.
This lady wrote to me saying, I know it is because Neham has made such a positive influence in her life. Just him being different, but still being, ready to interact with kids younger than him, older than him, all of that has made him a sensitive person.
Yeah, yeah. But you sensitized him is the point. You know? Yeah. And I think it's important to give yourselves... not even credit if you don't want to give yourself credit, but just to acknowledge all that you've done. And in a completely non-biased way. No positive, no negative. But I mean, you have done what you have done, which is a fantastic job. So well done.
So we are always, always grateful for the help we have received on the way and continue to. It does take a village. And we have friends and family who stand with us and stand with Neham. In fact, even his tennis coach, ma'am, he took a special course in the UK just to understand how to teach children who are hard of hearing, how to teach them tennis.
How interesting.
Because and he was shocked. It was a 3-day course. He paid for it himself. And he says that when the ball makes connection with the racket, there is actually a delayed response for a child who is hard of hearing, like a second's delay.
Traction, yeah.
So when he understood that you know, for him, certain things on a forehand or were not coming out the way he wanted it to, he made the changes.
Mm.
And all those coaches, all including his head coach, is funny. He keeps it light. He keeps it engaging. But they're all very cognizant of the fact of not to give him any special treatment, but they realize that some things can be difficult. So he stands behind Neha, giving him the instructions. Oh. It's not across the court.
How interesting. That's really insightful.
So he stands behind him. He understood that when there's that contact on the, when the racket and ball, that certain things he can't meet. So when it spin happens, he really can't feel the spin. So they made small changes in order for him to, even the way he serves, everything. They have worked around what they understood could be certain gaps. And they're working to improve his game. So we are always, always grateful that we have support from every corner.
Wow, this, you know, your whole point about the delay, mm-hmm. with the response. And so what they're probably, I mean, I'm no tennis player, but what they're probably teaching him to do is to preempt, to anticipate, but in advance, so that what for us would be an on-time response, he has to anticipate.
Right.
When you're going through the grind, it's not easy.
It's not easy. While we're talking about having people over, I recently told somebody this, and it was advice that you gave me. I was talking about how I remember sharing with you that he acts out when I have visitors. Or when I have people over and I'm trying to serve and I'm trying to, engage them, he's drawing attention, he's acting out. And I remember you telling me, give him a role. Give him a role, give him a job, let him feel part of what you're doing. And then when he's done, he will go himself. He would have had enough.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. And it's progressed from having visitors at home to the way we hosted our friend this weekend. We had him come with us. He went to the airport, picked him up. We had bits where he was with us. And then he was done and he was sent home. And, so he got to listen in on our conversations as well. So,
because I really believe that, children grow up as part of one's family, right? So they have to be a part of all family conversation and all family, quote-unquote, business. Because that is the fabric of family. The fact is that you can handle it. And that you can handle discussing it with him means that from a child's point of view, I can handle it. Mom mm-hmm. can handle it. She's willing to talk about it with me.
It.
So I can handle it. It's not taboo.
It's not a taboo. Yes, we've told him. Even people do stop him and ask, what is the processor? But he explains to them, this is how it works, like a bionic ear. He's done presentations to the class. He's done that. In fact, and most of the questions come from people who are gardeners, supervisors, in different places we go. And he explains to them in Tamil.
I was just going to ask, yeah. So he's... Oh, nice. So he's quite fluent in Tamil then, is he?
Yes. Spoken Tamil, he can manage. You usually hear a twang with children who have nothing. Nothing.
Wow. Hats off to you guys. I think just the perspective. I think that's really what it is. You were able to keep perspective along the way.
Thank you so much for your time and interest and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with is that whatever it is that you envisage for your child, don't abandon the path. Work meticulously towards actualizing that goal with your child, just like this family did. I'm delighted to conclude this podcast with the next episode, Proud Parents. This could be your reality. So stay tuned and come join us and have a listen.
If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at SoundSteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.